Hi there, good morning. This is Melissa O'Brien with HFS Research, and welcome to our Unfiltered Stories podcast series. Today, I have two esteemed guests with me. I have Rolando Salinas of Arbon and John Machinsky of Sea Experts, and we're here to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is employee experience, and something that has become even more important for us to focus on this year and moving forward in the future. So delighted to have you both with me today. Rolando, if I may ask you to kick us off with a brief introduction.
Sure, Melissa. Thank you so much. And thanks for the wonderful welcome. It's great to be here today. I am, as you mentioned, with Arbon. I'm responsible for our global customer care. And, you know, to tell you, it's a fun business. I'm looking forward to this conversation because something you said is really key and important in my world, and I think the world of many today, which is the engagement, the experience of our agents and our staff overall. It's a different world today than it was a few years back. And not to say that it's bad, it's just different. And so it's a topic that's near dear to me, and I'm excited for the conversation today. So thank you for the time.
Absolutely. Likewise, looking forward. John, would you please give an intro also?
Absolutely. So hello, Melissa. Hello, Rolando. Very much a pleasure to be here. As Melissa, you mentioned, I'm with Sea Experts. I'm a chief revenue officer and have been in the BPO industry now for, 35 years, which makes me very old, but hopefully also gives me some perspective on the topic that we'll be talking about here today. So having spent time both at large providers and small providers of outsourced contact center services, being on the client side and having worked with a number of organizations as well as in-house operations, it's kind of interesting that, you know, as time has gone by, there's a lot of focus on the things that are new within the industry, and absolutely everybody should be adopting those in terms of technologies and best practices and whatnot. But really, when it boils down to it, it's the same things that have always been the most important that drive the best overall experience, and that's going to be employee engagement and the impacts it has. And there certainly are some things that I think we could all use some reminders on, as well as things that are probably new best practices based upon changing demographics or whatnot that I'm glad we get the opportunity to talk about today.
Fantastic. Thank you, John. Let's set a little context on Rolando and John, your relationship. Maybe Rolando, share a bit about how you've been working together. How do you two know each other?
Sure. No, thank you for that. You know, it's many times in life, serendipitous events happen, unforeseen, unplanned, that cause outcomes. And it was very much the case with us. And what happened was that our business just blew overnight. You know, there was a lot of things that have impacted our business due to COVID and other factors. And one of the positive ones that our business just boomed. And when you grow so fast, you know, I don't know any organization that can pivot on a dime and be able to staff up accordingly. And so reached out to CX Experts, and they have been amazing in not only being responsive and really pivoting on that dime and getting people on board quickly. And I mean, really quickly. I was amazed. I've not seen a BPO that can really respond that quickly. And so we had people trained right away and had started our relationship, and it's been great. For me, one of the key things that makes CX successful is not just the KPIs. That's the business, right? That's what every BPO does. But it's really being able to support their agents in adopting the culture that we have. Culture here is really important. We'll talk about that some more as we get into the meat of our conversation. But the ability to deliver on those KPIs and then the ability to really adopt a culture that impacts our callers has been important in their delivery, and it's been amazing.
That's really helpful to understand, and we're going to get into the unfiltered story behind that today as we go through our conversation. So thanks, Rolando. Could you share with us, you know, over the past year and a half, work from home has become an evolution, and you know, it's almost a bit of an over talked about topic at this point, but it's still so important. to understand the nuances of working from home, hybrid, because we're still figuring this out. The tools haven't caught up yet. We haven't psychologically caught up yet as humans trying to figure out how we navigate our careers in this hybrid / remote environment. So it's still really, really important to talk about. And I think the nuances of it will continue to be learning for years to come. So would you share a bit, Rolando, about how your organization, how you have experienced the evolution of remote work over the last year and a half or so?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I'll kind of start at the beginning for us. And what I mean is, it was March 22nd of last year. I sent everyone to work at home. And it was interesting in the fact that I didn't have anyone on my staff, whether an agent or a supervisor or a manager or a trainer or anyone, that had ever worked at home. And I will be honest with you, I was a little surprised, because you get to a point in your career like, okay, you know, people have had diverse backgrounds and they work in different industries and surely someone's worked at home, but no one had. And at the time, I will tell you, I was concerned, but it turned out to be a real gift, and I'll explain what I mean. In having had no experience at work at home model for any of my staff, the challenge was really training everyone of how do you do this? As a leader, how do you lead? How do you engage? How do you stay connected? How do you inspire? As an agent, how do you stay connected with your team? You know, one of the positive dynamics of any call center is that you walk through the center and you feel the energy and you feel the vibe, and people engage each other and they, you know, they high five each other, and all of a sudden that's gone, right? So as an agent, how do you mitigate for that? How do you set up a work environment at home? I mean, you know, these are people that don't have office space at home. And so how do you do that? And how do you do that to where it's meaningful for you, but also it's quiet so your caller doesn't hear background noise and all these details, right? And so we went through a myriad of training hours to really get everyone up to speed. And to your point, Melissa, how do you shift the psychology? Right? That was the big thing. And you're right, the tools haven't caught up, but I will be honest with you, I don't see the tools being the greatest challenge. I see people's mindset as being the great opportunity here. And so in doing so, the key question was, how do we inspire people? Because I'm a firm believer that it's not about motivating. Motivation is limited, because motivation is always based upon a carrot. And it's, you either attain the carrot or you don't. But this, what happens after either one of those two is you say, what's my next carrot? And so it doesn't take on a life of its own. It doesn't have any inertia. So I'm a firm believer, to inspire people, that's from within the person. And that just continues to grow and grow and grow and grow. And so we said, okay, what tools do we have at our disposal and how do we best use them? So we did some things that may seem kind of basic, but really, really made a big difference in that. Let me first say, culture has always been a cornerstone of who we are as an organization and as a customer care department. And so we have strived over the years to build an environment where people feel like they matter. I'm not just another employee, I'm not just another member, and our culture is not just words on a wall or words on a paper. We really live it. And how do we do that, right? And I've always told my staff, we do that every single day, how we engage, how we talk, how we communicate, how we have tough conversations. We engage every day in all the little things we do. And I've always told my entire department that everyone is responsible to feed into the culture. Everyone. Now, you either do it consciously and you do it with purpose, or you step back and you don't really contribute, either way you're going to impact it. So how do you want to impact it? What environment do you want to be in? And so everyone has a level of accountability and ownership around the environment that they live in. And so we said, okay, we're going to continue to do this and let's see what tools we have. So for example, we do a lot of Zoom. We do a lot of Zoom for coaching. I set time aside so every team can have time off the phones just to connect, not to solve problems, not to talk about quality, not to talk about the KPIs, just to connect. And that, I would tell you, has been one of the most vital components of our success. People, as I said, want to feel like they matter. So if we're always talking about just the business, we're talking about KPIs, we're talking about your quality metrics or whatever, well, what message am I conveying? I'm conveying that I want to make sure you do a good job and you get good outcomes. But I'm not necessarily conveying that you matter to me. you are important to me. And so we wanted to make sure that that message was never lost. And so, again, we set time aside. Every single team has the ability to have time off the phones and they connect. And we gave our supervisors and managers some ideas of how to make the events meaningful, some icebreakers, someone like to play some games. And so there's a different flavor of engagement for each team, but they all work. And what we did also is that we wanted to say, okay, how do I know this is working? Like, how do I know that people are truly engaged, right? So we started off by sending surveys every couple of weeks with the same questions. And basically, the questions were geared to understand, how is this going for you? How do you like it? What do you not like about it? What can we do better? To really get there, not just the input, but also understand, again, are we aligned with the direction that we want to go in and make sure that people are inspired and engaged? And I will tell you, I was extremely happy and a bit surprised. From a business perspective, our productivity increased by almost 30% because everybody was home now and they were engaged and they were more focused. There were less distractions. What also happened is that our employee satisfaction results also increased drastically. And so a lot of goodness came from it. Now, we wanted to make sure we weren't missing blind spots, right? So how do you have those tough conversations? How do you have a conversation with someone that may be you have to put them on a performance plan? How do you make those meaningful as well? And again, we've invested a lot of time on training our leaders to have those crucial conversations in this remote setting, which is very different, right? It's tough enough sometimes, but yet more meaningful when we can sit face to face with the person and say, hey, Johnny, listen, we need to talk about this. You know, this has happened, or you did that, or whatever it may be. And now we have to do it remote. And what's happened is that people have become very adept at using the technology to really make those conversations meaningful. So it's been a journey, it's been an evolution. And the last thing I'll share with you, and you had touched on your question, Les, is, you know, as we continue to hire, there is a different dynamic with the younger generation. And this is not a bad thing or anything like that, but it's natural, it's common. And after so many years in the business, you know, you see this evolution take place decade after decade. And so the question was also, how do we make recognition meaningful? Make sure that, again, it's, you know, it's something that is valuable to that individual. And what we found really is that we took that team recognition or even individual that we would do in the center where everyone could see and everyone high fives and all of that. And we, again, took it to the virtual setting. And what we found is that people responded really well. What we wanted to make sure we kept doing was relaying that thank you, relaying that you are meaningful and you matter. And I was happy to see that shifting to a virtual environment didn't cause us to lose any ground on that. In fact, again, we gained some ground on that. And we now are at a place where we have people that we've hired that I've never met in person. We've hired them during this virtual time. And so it's very different. And I was a bit concerned at first thinking, will they adopt? Will they adopt to the culture? Will they engage? And I have to tell you, I've seen that work really well. And I attribute that to the consistency of the leadership and everyone contributing against that culture. People feel welcomed. And I've had many, many, many people say to me, oh my gosh, this is like a family environment. And so it's been very positive.
Awesome, Rolando. Thank you for sharing that and lots of great insights. One thing that really stands out to me is your comment about leadership. I think, you know, we've really had to just rethink how we operate as leaders and what's important and how do we ensure that that our folks are safe, number one, but number two, that they're fulfilled in their roles. So a lot of great advice in that. John, I want to bring you in also and to share your expertise. I've got several years under my belt in the BPO industry also, and I can relate to Rolando's comments about, you know, the camaraderie that the office had. And, you know, you just cherish those moments where you got to go for a Starbucks run with a colleague and blow off steam or talk about, you know, what's been happening with what you're working on. And that was so special. So translating that to a remote environment and setting aside time the way that Rolando described is so important. So John, I'd like for you to share also, you know, from your experience and what CXperts is doing, you're really evolving your thinking around employee experience. And I think you're developing some methodologies and frameworks that make sure that you're reflecting this in everything that you do. Would you share some of that with us also?
Absolutely, Melissa. And let me first say that I think it's very clear in listening to Rolando just how much he is impassioned about culture and about making sure that the right environment exists for success. And I can't tell you just how much easier that makes the relationship when you've got both parties that are in violent agreement with one another about what success really looks like. So that's been very helpful for us to not have to go in and try to convince another, you know, party that this is the right thing to do here, because we frankly are just very clearly aligned in this. So, you know, when you take a look at those things that we bring into the engagement as an outsourced service provider, what you would anticipate the most important thing to be is bringing on board the right people and being able to have them perform at the expectations expected, and then have them be around long enough that it becomes meaningful and they get very good at it. So, you know, those are the clear metrics that we manage ourselves to, and that is how we've, you know, aligned ourselves. And we'll talk about that in general, but specifically in an at-home environment, you know, like you said, the things that you've gotten good at over time have now needed to effectively translate virtually. And some of those things are tools. You know, you mentioned, you know, the need to catch up for some of this, and that's probably where a lot of it may still reside, is are all of the things that you know to automatically happen in a center translatable into the environment from a tool perspective? And I would say there's been a lot of aggressive catch-up that's taken place there as well. So from a tool standpoint, I think you can look at that and say, in most respects, that's all there. And then it becomes a matter of engagement. And as we go through that process, the big thing that we've had to tackle overall is, one, making sure that you're making the right decisions on the front end. And then from there, keeping an employee engaged and involved and motivated and empowered and, you know, feeling like they could and should be part of the team and want to do things the right way. So on the first part of that, you know, I guess it's nice. We already had in place a web-based tool called Nia that we lucked into the timing of this to where it just really worked itself out here for purposes of the pandemic. But when you take a look at decisioning that happens at the front end of the hiring process, they're usually going to be based upon prior experiences of an employee, the skill sets, you know, somebody may have, any testing you go through. But the thing that seems to be most often overlooked is the cultural alignment. Are you hiring the right person? So from that standpoint, that is a key element that we look for in that process. And frankly, it's a two-way street, because we don't want to just be hiring the right person. We want to make sure that they feel motivated to be working for the right company. So that whole process is us picking them and them picking us. And if either one of those isn't a good fit, we'd rather not hire somebody that 2 weeks from now is going to decide, yeah, this, you know, I like the pay, I like this, but this is just not the place for me. So the tool and whatnot that we go through is specifically designed to be able to make the right cultural and value aligned choices. And I'm a big proponent of the fact that if you really think culture is important, you need to use that as a basis of a hiring decision. And if not, then every new hire that you bring on board will dilute your culture. So once you get that past that process, then it's a matter of figuring out, one, how to equalize things in terms of engagement overall. But even beyond that, there are some elements too that we think are probably a little bit more adept from an at-home environment. So, you know, a key example of this, for instance, is, you know, whether we're in Guatemala or we're in the Philippines, Colombia, the U.S., you know, every one of those has a slightly different environment in terms of expectation of the employee and so forth. And we manage a local nuance. But, you know, one of the things that is pretty universally important is family. And from that standpoint, we incorporate that as an example, just as a best practice here for our home agents. So if you've got a situation here where normally in your center, Joe is your top agent for the week, and you'd have Joe stand up and you'd announce his successes and you'd give him a gift card and you know, he's proud and you know, blushes and gets a applause and sits down. You know, you take that to the next step here in an at-home environment, and instead he can say, hey, Joe, on Friday, do you mind, make sure your family is there at the end of the shift. We'd like to be able to talk to them about something. And now all of a sudden, Joe is getting, told that he's been great for the organization as a whole, and he is our top salesperson or our top performer. And from that standpoint, then you also get to, tell the kids they must be proud of their dad and how great he is and how valuable he is for us and so forth. And now all of a sudden, dad is pretty cool, especially when 30 minutes from now, you've got a pizza showing up at the door and they're all able to join in the celebration. So that's just an example of something where if you treat it right, there are ways actually to make that home environment work better for you to be able to create that employee engagement and so forth. But beyond that, there's other elements where what you really need to do is to try to avoid isolation working against you. And that's probably the biggest thing that we found is that, you can have people that aren't getting out that much. And from that standpoint, really that work at home environment then is an opportunity for them to stay connected to the world and be able to have those kinds of experiences virtually. And so if they consider that a positive experience, they want to stick around longer. They want to be engaged. They want to be able to do good things. So we try to create things like peer-to-peer communication, setting up WhatsApp groups, having just various channels of asynchronous communication going on too, where they've got the ability to be able to communicate with others, via various text channels or whatever else through the organization to be able to get questions answered, to feel connected, to always feel that they're part of the team. So not just in the performance of the job responsibilities, but just in general. From that standpoint, I can't agree more that that employee satisfaction is really the overall key driver to the attainment of metrics. So hitting KPIs, like Rolando had said, really is table stakes, but we really see that as the end result of our real management of the things that are the most important. So we learned a long time ago that if you manage employee satisfaction, then customer satisfaction is the net result. And it's probably then, just as a case in point here, why there's such a close alignment where our ESAT, for instance, is at 85%, and our CSAT, for this project overall, is at 86%. So I think they're just very, very closely aligned.
Awesome, John. Thanks. Those are some great metrics too. And I was wondering about, actually effectively measuring employee experience, and that definitely seems like a solid metric to go by. And I love, Rolando, your comments about, taking the feedback from folks and, doing these regular surveys so that you can really keep a pulse on what people are thinking and how they're feeling and how you can continue to adapt, because this will continue to be an evolution in my mind. So then, sort of wrapping us up here and thinking toward the future, I'd like to get both of your thoughts on this. I recently wrote a piece about contact center, actually, in particular, and customer experience, and that a lot of the shift to back into the office is going to be driven by employees that want to get back into the office. Now, obviously, that's going to vary dramatically based on the individual, based on the geography, based on, any number of factors, and how folks conduct themselves and how they work, how people work well, what works for them. So I'd just like to get both of your thoughts as we close out on what the future looks like and how you sort of see this playing out. What are the next steps? How do you continue to keep your pulse on the employee experience, continue to maintain that culture and that engagement? Rolando, would you kick us off with that? Thoughts on the future?
Sure. No, thank you for that. I want to actually start by stating another metric that I think is vital to keep an eye on, and that's your attrition, right? Attrition for me has always been a direct cause of environment and engagement. And so I would say to any organization, I would say to any leader, what's your attrition? What has it been historically and what's driving your attrition, right? Because as we move forward, I think it's going to be one of the very key signs of the health of that department, of that organization, of that company. We are transitioning now into a works world where people are realizing, I have other options. Whether that option is, I don't want to sit on the phone anymore, I'm going to go drive for Uber. Or the option is, my company's telling me that I've got to go back to the center. And, I don't want to do that. Like, I like the fact that I don't have to commute. I like the fact that I don't have to waste money on gas. I like the fact that, you know, I'm not spending money on dry cleaning or whatever other factors. And so they're going to tell me I have to go back. I'm going to go somewhere else because other companies are affording me the opportunity to work from home. And so I think that we are seeing, we'll continue to see a shift in the employee-employer dynamic. And I think that in the call center space, we have to be really vigilant for a few factors. Look, there are tens of thousands of positions out there. Getting a job, whether you're an agent or a supervisor or manager or whatever, is really not that difficult. And as we all know, the good people are the first ones to leave and the good people are the ones that are easiest to hire, right? And so I think that it's going to cause companies to look at themselves and say, okay, if I'm opposed to them working at home, why am I opposed? I think that one of the challenges is not enough leaders pose the question of why. I have met a lot of leaders who still have the psychology of, well, you know, that's what we do. That's how I know people are busy and they're engaged. And so therefore we have to be in a center or an office. And I think that those people that are not able to shift that mindset will really have many challenges on employee engagement, on customer satisfaction, and those other metrics that John touched on. I think that as we move forward, those companies that can keep an open mind, that can look at this new environment through a different lens and really keep top of mind of what's the ultimate goal. And while there's many different things we want to accomplish, I think at the end of the day, the ultimate goal is really simple and it's interconnected. I want my callers to be happy. And I want my agents, my teams to be engaged. I think it's that simple, right? Now, obviously, there's a lot of moving pieces under both of those, but I think that's the ultimate goal. I think the challenge is that often people lose sight of that because they get hooked on something else or they lose sight of the fact that it is a different world and it's working. And so for the pieces that may not be the same, how do I work that differently now? And how do I, to your point early, Melissa, when you started the conversation, how do I engage differently? So I do think that it's going to continue to evolve. I've known of companies that, I know one company sent 30,000 agents to work at home during this pandemic, and they are grappling now with how much of that do I bring back in and to what extent. The other piece also, I think that a lot of companies would be looking at when they ask these questions of just the pragmatic cost of real estate. Why would I spend, you know, whether it's $500,000 a year or it's millions and millions of dollars a year in real estate when I maybe don't need to do that? Again, my productivity is there, my outcomes are positive, my customers are engaged, so why am I going to do that? I think that those companies that can keep an open mind and really continue to move forward evolve, listen to their employees, listen to their feedback, their likes, dislikes, and the whys, and be able to really build those relationships, keep the attrition low. I think those are the ones that we'll see be very successful. I think others will struggle quite a bit.
Absolutely. Great points, Rolando. Thank you. And John, any last thoughts from your end on just advice for the future for our listeners?
Yeah, I would say that similar to Rolando, attrition, like Rolando mentioned, is just such a key driver. And I think that really lends itself to this topic because, you know, that is one of our internal key metrics. I mean, we understand that, again, if you're going to be looking at what is going to make somebody successful, their ability to be able to stay in the job long enough to get good at it and then stay good at it is going to be key to your overall success of the program. And it's not just a matter of extra expense of replacing individuals, which we all know could be pretty massive. I mean, it really is going to be, once you get somebody that gets through those first 90 days, you know, they're on that glide path. Their performance is just better than people that are newer. So from that standpoint, you know, we average right now right around 3%, you know, monthly attrition and some projects, you know, that number's, you know, as low as 1.6. And so that is something that we very, very much focus on above a whole lot of other metrics that we could be looking at. So how is that driven by current environment and what does the future hold then for home agents? So like Rolando says, you've got options that are out there here right now. And in the U.S. as compared to elsewhere, I think circumstances are a little different. U.S. is a matter of convenience and a matter of choice. And if you've got two different jobs available to you, one is letting you do what you've been doing and you're at home and you don't have that commute and you can spend more time with the kids and drive them to school and to do those kinds of things where you might not otherwise be able to do that. There's a value attached to that. And so one, that may be the employee that you get versus the one that you don't get if you provide them the working environment that they want to be in. And two, they'll stick around doing that because once they leave that environment, they may end up having to go to work somewhere else. And I think we all know the situation in the U.S. here right now, where not just in the contact center industry, but everywhere, there's a big struggle to be able to find enough people to be able to fill the various roles that are out there. So this is going to continue for some time. I think it is a huge paradigm shift that everybody really needs to understand to be able to adapt to. If you look at other environments, you know, it's very unfortunate, you know, as you look at places like the Philippines and Central America and India and so forth, that you're just not at the same place in terms of vaccinations. And there's a legitimate safety issue and question that's out there. And so just for their own personal health situation and the their family members and, you know, the fact that now you've got, you know, potential for other variants and other things that now make people kind of wonder about things again. I think for years to come, this is going to be an issue overall, whether or not the environments do get opened up. And if they do get open up, how comfortable people are going to be able to put themselves out there again. So you need to be able to offer those things. And the nice thing about this is that I think as we've all seen here over the past couple of years, is that you've got companies that no way, no how, we're ever going to go virtual. And usually because of information security, perceived risks, and various other things along those lines. And when your hand was forced and you had to do it, then all of those barriers came down. And now, if there's no legitimate reason why you can't do it, now it's a matter of preference and strategy. So as you take a look at the overall results that have come about as a result of this, and some of those impacts to lower attrition rates and various other things that do drive overall performance, I think it's very difficult to be able to legitimize any really good reasons why this is not going to be a part of the overall strategy. And I can anticipate there may be more complex processes or other things that may drive certain call types and certain processes to go within a brick and mortar environment. But absolutely, I think every company going forward will definitely have this as part of the plan.
Absolutely, John. Great points. It's certainly been a culture shift, and it continues to shift. And I think this has been an excellent conversation today. I've learned a lot. I know that there are a lot of organizations that are really grappling with this and trying to figure out how they make this work long term. And you guys had some fantastic insights about how to make that work. Just the mentality about thinking it through and just having that focus on the employee and how much that translates to the end customer at the end of the day. So I want to thank you both very much, Rolando and John, for joining me today, for diving into this topic on employee experience. You're two of the leading folks that I've listened to talk about this topic. So really appreciate you spending time with us today.
Well, thank you very much, Melissa. I definitely appreciate the opportunity to be able to chat about this topic here that I'm sure is top of mind for most everyone out there.
Certainly.
Yes, Melissa, thank you so much for your time. Great conversation. Enjoyed it. And I credit you and anyone like you who is really invoking these conversations, so it's really getting people to think and to maybe question and to look at things differently. I give you a lot of credit in the ability for our industry to continue to evolve. So thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Rolando. And thanks to our listeners. Thanks for checking out our Unfiltered Stories podcast. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.